All right, hello and welcome to Stasis Pod, the Micronauts podcast, part one of a very special two-part between seasons episode. I'm Rob Tron.
I am Jen Elephie.
I'm Beta David.
And yes, we, for a very special two-part episode of our traditional between seasons episode, we are watching the two-part pilot episode of the Micronauts cartoon that you haven't seen, unless you follow Jen on social media. In which case, I believe she has come to your house and demanded that you watch it.
I have come to your house and forced a, 128 gigabyte USB drive into your hand and insisted that you watch this.
She wants to know if you've heard the good news about Zant.
He's so great. I love him so much.
Outtake ideas. Jen, what if you do that for TFCon?
Oh, man.
Just get, cheap little USB drives and stick, 5-10 episodes on them, or however many will
stick. And just hand them out to people, or even just because the Masters that leaked, the whole series is about 73 gigabytes. So if I processed it down and compressed it to something that is extremely viewable but still a little more compact, I could definitely hand out 32 gig drives all over the place with the series on it.
Maybe, but that might be expensive. Just getting small cheap ones just to hand out. It's like, here, if we have a panel, here, have some episodes of Micronauts.
Watch
this. Spread the word.
Hopefully that isn't in some sort of violation of international copyright law.
Oh, man, that's a good...
Oh, we're breaking law by doing that in Canada.
I have already broken laws for this series.
So a little background about this. So, not quite, around 10-ish years ago, Hasbro was really going in on the whole... We're turning all of our shared properties, all of the properties we own, into a shared universe. Because everybody else was doing it, and we wanted to be popular.
They needed a Hasbro cinematic universe.
That's right.
Well, honestly, this was the, what was the comic book called? Shit.
Micronauts?
No.
Unit E?
Yes, Unit E, the one-shot comic where it was here's an idea of what Hasbro might do, combining a bunch of our things together.
Right. And they did it a bit with the IDW comics, too.
Yeah. I think Cullen Bunn did some Micronauts issues for IDW around the Revolution time.
But, the Unit E thing was actually kind of early in the shared universe thingamabob. Before Marvel movies? Or, after, Iron Man or something?
I mean, that's when the... that's right around the Marvel movies, because Prime came out in the wake of the first couple of movies. Hmm. And the first Transformers movie was 2007, and I believe Iron Man was 2008.
Yeah, so if Hasbro had actually been able to fully jump on it, then it would have been a great idea, but time ticks away.
Yeah, and, it's been very hard for anybody to get the shared universe thing to work, apart from Marvel. You've got, I guess, the... DC tried it, and it kind of worked, but not well enough that they're doing it a different time.
It did not work until the Superman.
I mean, parts of it worked. Aquaman made $1 billion. That's something.
Okay, I guess. Yeah, weirdly. I never actually saw
the Dark Universe.
Yeah, I mean, what I'm saying is it worked better than the Dark Universe, which lasted one movie and then died immediately.
One movie no one but me liked.
Well, one and a half, kind of.
No. That was the Mummy was the Dark Universe. I don't think even you liked that one.
Yeah, I haven't even seen that one, actually.
Yeah.
No, Mummy was the actual Dark Universe thing. The Dracula movie was sort of retconned to maybe we could use that, but they didn't. but they didn't get anywhere?
And they didn't have the actual Dark Universe name on it yet.
Yeah.
But, no.
Starting with the Mummy is just such a terrible
idea. Sorry, Windsor is mewing for my attention, and I think the mic's picked it up. That is Windsor, for the cat identifiers out there.
I mean, they started with the Mummy because those Brendan Fraser movies were popular.
Yes.
Well, no, that's the thing. If they'd done Brendan Fraser, again, that'd fucking work. If they used that adventure formula, but...
I mean, they were kind of trying for the adventure formula.
Because that
movie's not particularly horrifying.
No.
Sophia Boutella's kind of creepy in it. But, I mean...
Anyway, Hasbro.
Yeah, so... And Hasbro, you know, they did Transformers movies, and those made money.
And they did the G.I. Joe movies,
didn't make money.
It did not make a ton of money.
Made a couple dollars, but not enough.
They tried three times. It didn't really work any of the three times.
No.
Oh, right, I forgot about the Snake Eyes movie.
Yeah, there was a Snake... I still haven't seen that Snake Eyes movie.
I would often confuse it with, like, Shang-Chi.
Right.
But I did see it, like, from Redbox during COVID.
Maybe we should watch that sometime. Put that on the back burner of maybe we'll watch.
That's fair. That's fair.
It's apparently only one of us has. It like, the trailers of that reminded me of, what was it, Ninja Assassin?
Oh, yeah.
Which was a fun, stupid movie.
I mean, I feel that you can make a fun Snake Eyes movie, but... Eh.
Kind of why?
I mean, maybe one day they will nail G.I. Joe, you know, on the big screen, but it hasn't really happened yet.
No.
No, because you have to go over-the-top ridiculous cartoony, I think.
Yes.
Maybe not full... like, original cartoon loony, but you gotta
Cobra
do
needs
zany.
To be made entirely of people who need the HR department called on them.
Yes.
So...
Or, hell, you could do, like, a Dreadnoughts movie and don't call it a Dreadnoughts movie, and it just turns out at the end of it they're recruited by Cobra.
Yes.
Like, just like these I would go killer it. Hillbilly bikers. It's like it's a horror movie.
So yeah, they put together like a writer's room that was working on Transformers, G.I. Joe, Mask, Micronauts, ROM, and Visionaries.
They only even had the rights. They didn't even have the rights to Micronauts until like the 2010s or so, because it got bounced around a lot of those. I mean, it was originally Takara, because it was part of Microman, and then it was Mego in the US,
yes.
And then it was bounced around in the early aughts. Like, I think Palisades had it at one point.
Yeah, Palisades, and then SOTA had it for a while. And then I think Hasbro like bought it up lock, stock, and barrel. So they just owned the whole thing.
Yeah. They and I can't imagine at that point it cost them a lot. It was like $20 behind a Toys R Us.
A distressed asset.
Yeah. And similarly with ROM. I don't know when they picked up ROM specifically.
That was not that long. That was 2021 something?
But yeah, they went on a whole run of buying up these spare, you know, late 70s and 80s toy properties.
Oh no, they actually have owned ROM for a long time, because ROM was released by Parker Brothers. Yeah, and they released Parker Brothers in 1991.
Oh, okay. I could never remember if it was Parker Brothers or Milton Bradley that they bought.
Right.
Or maybe it's both now.
They own both.
Oh, okay. That's the thing. I was like, I knew that ROM was originally Parker Brothers, but I thought Milton Bradley was the one Hasbro had bought. But no, it's okay. They own both. That's fair.
Yeah, no, they're Hasbro. They own everything.
Yeah. They're the Disney of toys.
Apparently it was Parker Brothers who also owned Nerf, which is how they got Nerf.
Oh, okay. Hmm. Well, it is Nerf or nothing.
Yeah.
But yeah, they snapped up the Micronauts rights fairly late. But Visionaries and No Inhumanoids? Ugh.
I mean, humanoids is the one that keeps annoying me.
There's some kind of rights issue with inhumanoids.
I heard.
Well, yeah, because with the Unit E, they had new inhumanoids. The thing is, with like anything else, like with ROM, you need ROM and kind of the dire wraiths and like the story for him to kind of work. Like trying to invent new shit is wacky. But with the inhumanoids, you just need chthonic monsters from under the earth.
I mean,
like Lovecraftian horrors. It doesn't matter what they are. You don't need Metlar and Tendril. You just need horrors.
I heard the problem with inhumanoids in the IDW period was just that the name was too close to Inhumans, and Marvel was trying to make Inhumans happen.
Yeah.
But that
okay.
doesn't. That's just the name.
Yeah.
And I wonder. The guy who was, like, the head of Inhumanoids design at Hasbro went on to found Spin Master Toys.
Oh.
And I wonder if he might have kept some rights. I don't know. The rights to Inhumanoids seem to be more complicated than one might think, which is a little frustrating. Because I absolutely was hoping that it was Herc Armstrong who was going to be showing up at the end of Transformers 25. And sadly, it was some other rando. He's not a rando. I know who he is. But the point is, it's not Herc.
Oh, right, because in Unit E, they weren't called Inhumanoids. What the fuck were they called?
It was like Primordials.
Yeah, Primordials or Primords, something like that.
Yeah.
I don't like the name as much, but fine. I just want giant Lovecraftian beasties fighting guys in mech
suits.
They
seem to have issues with Inhumanoids that go beyond just the name, but I have not heard like who the rights would actually belong to then, and I'm wondering if it's the Spin Master guy or if it's I don't know. I would really like Slither to be involved with Cobra Law in the Energon universe, but
well, yeah, that would be fun, too.
But anyway, yes.
Maybe Flint Dilly knows.
I need to find a convention that he's at and just, like, corner him in an elevator somewhere and make demands. But yes, Hasbro, it was that period when Hasbro was trying to make the Hasbro Cinematic Universe happen.
Yeah.
And maybe they're still trying to make it happen. So that scene at the end of the last Transformers movie, but who knows?
Yeah, someone seemed to want that. I mean, there was the whole thing for a while, and talk about Chris Hemsworth being attached to it,
right?
But everything is such a mess in the entertainment industry right now that, I mean, like what we're going to talk about, like things are just, there was the Batgirl movie that just got shoved in a closet. There was that Coyote versus Acme movie that there was all the, I mean, that was also WB.
It is actually coming out now.
Yes, but it took like a lot of work for it to be coming out. Like there's a lot of stuff getting made and not actually put out, where things being planned and then not ending up in development hell more than it seems like there used to be.
Yeah, I mean, it's one thing for things to, you know, be in development hell or to be canceled, but a fairly new phenomenon is things being made and then shelved indefinitely for a tax write-off.
Yeah.
And that is what happened to this Micronauts series, with much to the dismay of everyone who worked on it.
Yeah, which, as it turns out, was a lot of people.
Yeah, I mean, it's 52 episodes, you know, big name voice actors.
Yeah.
52 completed episodes. That's
episodes.
The most shocking part once this finally came out. They were all done. Like, sometimes when, like stuff like this comes out that's, like, had been shelved or put away, it's like, oh, sound effects hadn't been done. The songs hadn't been recorded. It didn't have an opening or something. No, this is stuff, 52 episodes, finished, in the can, sitting for years.
Yeah.
And again, finished right before the pandemic, and they could have released it when everybody was so desperate for viewing options that we all decided to watch Tiger King.
Yeah, when I was so desperate for viewing options that I watched, like, all of the weird freeform Marvel stuff. I watched The Gifted, and watched the Cloak and Dagger series, and I guess Hellstrom came out during that time. Yes. But I did not actually make it more than a couple episodes into The Inhumans, though. Because, man.
No one did.
That one was, rough.
I didn't even watch it, and I love Lockjaw more than almost any other comic book character ever created. Like, I count on one hand the number I like more than Lockjaw, and I didn't bother watching Inhumans.
Lockjaw was the best one. He was a surprisingly credible Lockjaw for TV.
Good. Which is good, because that seems like a tricky effect.
Well, didn't they make, like, a life-size one just to stand there?
I think probably. So. I mean, I know they're kicking themselves now, because if they hadn't blown it, they made like a movie, just imagine the plush Lockjaws they'd be selling.
So many.
Have they started selling plush Jeffs yet?
I don't know if they started. I'm sure it's on its way.
I feel like if Diamond was still a thing, that would be like a retailer exclusive.
Yes. And they did make plush versions of those little... those little two-butted guys from...
Yes.
Shang-Chi.
From Shang-Chi.
Morris.
Yes.
Oh, okay. Maybe there is or is one coming from Funko. Jeff's, of course, had Funko.
Anyway.
Like, Jeff, market.
And speaking of things they could have made toys of, Micronauts.
Before we get into that, slight, tiny plug for... A friend of ours who has been a guest on our show a couple times back, I think.
Friend of the show.
Did Gridman or something? Yes. Christine Love.
Yes, she joined us for some Gridman.
Yes. Normally does writes video games, visual novels and things, but has finally put out a book, a little novel. Well, I think technically a novella by the length of it. Anyway, you can go buy it. It's like $5. It's called Star Sword Nemesis, which is about lesbians in space and giant robots. Which
I imagine that it's very nice after writing visual novels to be able to just like write one dialogue tree.
Yes, one linear story. it's a breeze. Like, I think she said she started writing it like 5 years ago or something, but put it aside because. Pandemic or whatever, she got distracted. But eventually, watching, was it G-Quox, I think? Yeah, it was the G-Quox movie that got her to go back to the story and finish it.
Nice.
And also, like, that was one of the only Gundams she's seen. She is currently going through UC Gundam.
Ooh.
I think she's in the middle of Zeta right now.
Oh, man.
So... if she writes a sequel, we're going to get more Char.
We're going to get some subtext about Zeta. Yes. Subtext commentary about Zeta.
I want people to buy it, so she's encouraged to write a second one so we get more Char, like Lady Char vibes.
Nice.
But I haven't finished it yet. I'm only about a quarter of the way into it, so I can't give a full review, but I'm liking it so far.
We will anyway, come back to that on the news pod once you have finished.
Right, so. Our very, very, very rare plugging an ad segment over. Back to our regularly scheduled program.
But first, I'd like to talk to you about better health. or wait, is it better help?
Man, it's better help.
We need sponsors because I could use some more mattresses, like 3 mattresses.
I mean, I could probably use a new mattress, I guess.
What did they do with all those mattresses?
I don't know. They packed them together and they would just explode.
So, Micronauts have been around a long time.
Yes.
50 years, isn't it?
I think in their current form, we're talking like late 70s, so almost 50 years.
Hmm.
Does anybody here have prior experience with the Micronauts?
So I am familiar with the Micronauts comic in concept, in that I am familiar with many things that I have handled, and I probably have a handful of issues in one of my boxes of stuff that I picked up at the used bookstore. but I have never actually gotten around to reading any of it. So I could, like, name a handful of characters, and of course, being, like, a person who has been to a lot of toy shows, I've seen the toys around a lot.
Yeah, I... presumably in, like, the pile of old Marvel comics, which was a lot of Star Wars comics, I got some of those, some of the Micronauts issues from an older cousin, but I don't remember reading them much. I mostly knew that they just bumped into the rest of Marvel and so on. And Baron Karza was based upon a Kotetsu no Jig toy painted black.
I mean, certainly previously, Baron, and I, they're certainly before my time, and even the comics are before my time, but I've started to pick up, because Marvel has recently acquired the rights to reprint its old ROM and Micronauts comics.
Yeah.
And so I've been picking up those. Yeah, like ROM, Micronauts is written by Bill Mantlo and is extremely bleak.
Well, yeah, because he could afford to be, because it's its own little pocket universe, and we could just kill all these new characters off.
And they
don't
were
have to worry about murdering
of...
X-Men.
Like, they hadn't figured out that, like, if you're writing to sell toys, you might want to write something that's a little more... I mean, I say that, but the Micronauts comic, much like the ROM comic, was successful far beyond the scope of the toy line, so...
Yeah, the toy line was canceled in, like, 1980, but the comic kept going for another 5 years.
Yes, as finally ended.
As a comic book, it was very successful, but it apparently was not toy, like, enough of a toy seller to keep the toy company running. I mean, I'm sure Mego probably was, like... I think Mego just, like, got its lunch eaten by the entire 3¾ action figure market.
And I think before that, He-Man as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I guess, you know, I think Mego was offered Star Wars and didn't take it.
Well, a bunch of people were offered Star Wars and never took it.
Yeah, I mean, everybody. And interestingly, Marvel was also basically saved in the late 70s by taking a flyer on Star Wars and selling a zillion Star Wars comics.
Yeah.
And so this series, and after being, I mean, I don't know that it's officially been canned or written off for tax purposes, because from what I understand, the guy who, like the main story editor, just never heard from Hasbro.
Yeah, they, like, a year ago, he was having a day on social media, as many of us do at times, and just, like, went off about how it should sure would be nice if anyone would ever tell him what was going on with the show that he had spent all this time, and, you know, had all these other great people who had done all this work on this great show, and he was super proud of it, and he never heard anything about it from anybody, and yeah, he was having a day about it, and that was about a year before it suddenly appeared mysteriously on the Internet Archive.
Yeah, we don't know who put it there, and if we did know, we wouldn't tell you.
So he said it was not him because his episodes were watermarked.
Yeah, so this might go up to the very top.
The ones we have, this is, like, big quality. It's, like, it's not quite 4K, but it's amazing quality.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely is, like, digital masters. This is Blu-ray quality at least. But, yeah, it's, like I said, the episode files are each over a gig, so it's very good quality.
And the thing is, it's now out there, and it can never not be out there.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, the weird thing is, my channel got, and by that I mean our channel. Because
yes, our previous Iacon Underground YouTube channel.
I've got to be better about siloing these things off.
Yes, I think I warned you about that, but...
And I was like, oh, it's fine.
Well, no. My suggestion was to make a second channel, which probably also would have been under your email account, which all got nuked anyway.
Yeah, so. I'm basically not allowed to have a YouTube account under that Gmail account anymore, so that's one. But, yeah, it got aggressively takedowned from someone Hasbro adjacent.
Yeah, but that was after, like, 2 or 3 weeks.
It was, like, a month.
A month? Okay. Yeah, it was on archive for, like, a week or so before it was taken off
but
there.
But the thing is, and then you fortunately, for everyone else out there, there is another channel that still has it up.
Yes.
So it is still on YouTube.
And has had it up for 2 months.
Yeah. And I have noticed that there's like ads running between episodes and at the start of episodes.
Oh, that's even,
and I'm like,
that's
so,
a bad idea.
Well, I'm of course going to be here, you know, the Charlie Day meme with all the yarn between the lines on the wall. But I do kind of wonder if it's like low-key Hasbro can't officially do it, so they're unofficially doing it. But then they didn't want someone else unofficially doing it.
Maybe?
So I'm wondering if someone Hasbro adjacent might be running the other channel.
Because
it's literally just Micronauts fan channel. All it has up is this show. So, I don't know.
Alright, so we are starting with the very first episode, Strangers on a Space Bridge.
That sure is some notable terminology there.
Yes.
Can someone give me a link to the wiki page so I can look at that while we're talking?
I don't believe there is a wiki.
I
want there to be one.
I'm thinking that's a project I'm going to have to undertake. Because I do care about this enough to want there to be a wiki for it. Because there's so many, like, things that get, you know, like, details that run through the series and stuff. So I may look into setting up a wiki.
There is a Micronauts wiki for the comics and the toys?
Yeah, I think what I would end up doing is talking to the TF Wiki people about doing a TF Wiki adjacent one. For reasons because I do feel that it was sort of low-key intended to be a Transformers adjacent show.
Yes. It's adjacent, and the wiki already has a GoBots, and there's something else as a sub.
There's a G.I. Joe one that's sort of adjacent.
It is? Oh, I thought the G.I. Joe was its own thingy, but yeah.
I think it's sort of adjacent. I mean, I think it's linked to in other articles, at least. Okay.
I just know that the G.I. Joe wiki isn't in-depth enough about the cartoon, and that pisses me off.
Right. And but we open in media res here as our heroes emerge from the space bridge
into a strange and mysterious land.
Yes. So we can do a bit of a roll call here. We got Pelham, which I initially thought was spelled P-L-H-A-M, like the taking of Pelham 1-2-3. Yes.
So did I. That's the way I spelled it in my notes.
No.
Voiced by Sam Gamgee himself, Sean Astin.
Yes, he has apparently been doing some cartoon stuff lately, because he was also Raphael in one of the recent Ninja Turtles shows.
Oh, that's right. Yes, he was. We got Oberon, who is a Kevin Michael Richardson character, by which I mean he's a big tough guy.
Yes.
But the difference is he is half man, half unicycle.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, he's it. What if RoboCop was the... Wait, Gizmo Duck.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, it is a very Gizmo Duck.
Also, I think there was another cartoon in the 80s that had a unicycle guy. I think it was shorter or something.
You thinking of T-Bob?
No, but T-Bob's in the department.
And I will try to keep my aggressive spoilering of things that come up later to a minimum, but, I mean, Obi is basically just a disabled veteran.
I mean, I think he probably wasn't born a unicycle.
Yeah, yes.
We got Finello Fee.
Huh. Oh, that's a weird pun of a name.
Who's like the spunky action girl?
Yes.
Yeah.
Voiced by Mae Whitman, or as you may know her.
She was Amity from the Owl House.
And she's the president's daughter in the first Independence Day.
Yay!
And she's also the one of the evil exes in Scott Pilgrim.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. Hey, look, she's great. And a ton of voice acting, too.
Yes.
Then we have Zant, who is like a guy with four arms and he's like a weird alien guy with an exposed brain.
Yes.
Voiced by Community and DuckTales and now Transformers Earthsparks, Danny Pudi.
Yes. Yay. He is great in this. He's very good at going, eek!
He's very much playing the Danny Pudi character.
Yes.
Yeah.
He is a diplomat. He is not prepared.
Well, he says he's a diplomat.
He is actually a diplomat.
Okay.
So, we do eventually find out why they were in the situation they were in this episode, but yes, he is actually a diplomat.
Yeah, I figured it's just he starts out as a guy in a cage, or in a cell, saying, oh, I'm a diplomat. Sure, buddy.
A weird bug guy.
With an exposed brain.
A very chatty, weird bug guy with he's got a dome.
Yeah.
He's got a dome over it.
Speaking of bug, these guys are analogous to a lot of the original Micronauts comic characters. Him, Zant, yes. Being bug.
Yeah, yes. So the weird thing with Micronauts is that half the characters in that old Marvel comic are owned by Hasbro. Yeah. Half of them are still owned by Marvel because they were introduced in the comic.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, because half of them are direct versions of toys. The other right. half of the characters, like Bug, are original characters that did not have toys.
I mean, I guess Finelope is kind of the marionette, sort of. And then I don't know that anybody's really Arcturus Ran.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I always assume that Arcturus Ran would have been like the Acroyer character. So
that was a different guy.
But yes. Oh, okay. That was a different guy.
That was a different guy. And of course, what I had always assumed for years is that it was pronounced Acro. But it's not.
I like that they use that joke in this. Or is that in the next episode?
I think it's in both. Okay.
But, yeah, so you were asking since when is it a Croyer? And I went and looked up the, like, old toy commercials, and I...
Yeah, I know, I found that too. But the thing, I never saw those commercials. I only ever saw ads for it in Marvel Comics, or the few issues I did read that I don't remember.
And I never saw those ads because I'm a young person.
Yes.
And I was not alive when those were...
Well, full disclosure, I was born in 1978, so it's a little bit before my time, too.
Well,
but
yes,
I got that...
We were infants when it came out, but the comics were...
Secondhand from somebody, and I don't know if at some point in the comics, like, it's that the pronunciation is given clearly, but yes, apparently from the original toy commercials, it was always supposed to be Acroyer and not Acroyear, as it clearly is spelled.
Yeah.
I mean, there's probably one of those things, like in the letters page, where occasionally they clarify it's pronounced Kazar or Magneto.
Yes. Yeah, it's probably something like that, and they were going off the notes from Mego.
Anyway, and rounding out our group here is, who is not a voice actor yet, is Biotron, who is like the big, strong, silent robot type.
He's not Biotron yet. In the first episode, he's just robot.
Well, they're talking about him as they've got a specific name.
Omnitrix.
Isn't that the thing from Ben 10?
Yes, it is. The Omnitrix.
Well, that's probably...
I think they're staying in slight... They're like, there's a different syllable. Omnitrix,
yeah, it's like Omnitrix, I believe, here.
Okay.
It's annoyingly close, and that bugged me.
But like, it is notable that he is being assumed to be a standard mass production robot.
And he mostly doesn't work.
I mean, he does what he wants.
And also
he's off when they first encounter him.
Yes.
Right. He's a little bit Iron Giant and a little bit
Yes.
Yeah.
Big Hero 6.
He is big and round and chunky, and he will shoot you with lasers.
And he keeps tilting his head adorably. Like, he's got good physical presence.
He's so good. He's such a good boy.
And as we open, we are on the planet. What is this called?
Microsia.
Yeah,
after the in medias res, we flash back after the titles.
Yeah, they flashed into a mysterious location. There's some sort of mystery goo seeping in, and there appear to be gigantic. There's a gigantic being near them.
Dun dun dun. So
we get our theme song, which is, I believe, by Poff to Dunk.
The opening is okay. It's mostly just saying Micronauts over and over.
Sometimes it's in a cool robot voice.
Yes.
Yeah. It might grow on me. It's not horrible.
It's just catchy, but it's a little mid.
Yeah, at least it's short.
I mean, the thing is, unlike Transformers, they didn't have an iconic 80s theme song to riff on, which they've mostly been doing for the past 40 years.
Yeah.
Just like, well, I don't know, Micronauts. I would have had like a weird robot voice. Anybody see that the movie Tron Legacy?
Yes. Do something like that.
No. Yes. I mean, no.
Yeah, no, I didn't see Tron Legacy. Who cares?
Look,
and I'm not about to see Tron Morbin it.
I don't know. My fondness for Greta Lee and my hunger for movie theater popcorn may draw me to the Cineplex. We'll see.
It has Gillian Anderson in it, and that's not tempting me.
Oh, yeah, that's pretty bad when that's not enough. It has her in it, but she is more than canceled out by Mr. Beast. I refuse to go see anything that has even a second of Mr. Beast in it.
Technically, Mr. Beast actually isn't in the movie. He was just in ads. But the fact that he was in ads and Jared Leto's it all over the goddamn movie. No, I don't need to see that.
Yeah, I don't need any of that.
Maybe we can razz it when it comes on a home video. But
so anyway, Pelham, he is one of the Acroyers.
1, 2, 3 of the Acroyers.
Yes, he's up. There's like a whole force of them. They're like sort of the law enforcement of this society of people who speak in the Tron. All kind of dress like they're in Tron.
They do, kind of. Yeah,
they got the glowy blue bits.
They got the glowy armor.
When we first see Pelham, he's what I first thought was like a trash truck driver, but he's driving a truck full of prisoners.
Yes.
Also, when we get our establishing shot of the city, that is a blink and you'll miss it. Like, so the city is built up around what looks to be the hilt of a giant sword.
A giant, very familiar sword.
Ben noted that the shape of the sword, not the color, but the shape of the sword is an awful lot like the handle of the dark saber from RID 2015.
Ooh. Uh-huh.
Ooh.
It's like that sword,
this
just in yellow.
Looks like a Cybertronian sword.
Yeah. Yeah, because it's like a sword in a crater. And the city's built around that.
Yeah. So that's interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, and we see like a whole bunch of like different species wandering around. This guy, like centaur guys.
Oh yeah, it's very much like here's your OCs of background characters.
Yes.
And initially, I thought that Fen was supposed to be like a different species. I thought she kind of looked green.
Well, her skin tone.
I thought that
I think
too,
she is.
And apparently, she's apparently just Microsians also come in additional colors.
Right. She's sort of got like, I thought they were like facial markings, but it's just like dramatic eye makeup.
The spiky hair kind of threw me off. The spiky hair made me think that she was supposed to be some kind of like avian species, but no, that's just normal variation among microtians.
Well, because
according to Eric Rogers in Twitter, Sky DMs,
her hair is very stiff and spiky. I thought she might be insectile, like they look like bits of shell.
Well, they're talking about her wings.
They never change angle.
You think that maybe she has like bug wings?
Yeah,
but they're
too.
Just like it's like a fancy suit.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just a jetpack.
So the Acroyers are basically just like the leader class of the military. I mean, like low-key military, like a Federation of Planets kind of military than like a Starship Troopers kind of military.
Mm-hmm. Well, although I kind of got Starship Troopers off the next character we're about to meet here, Oberon. Because they sort of do the reveal like they did with the...
Michael Ironside. The
but not Michael, there's a different actor.
There's another guy?
Have missing legs.
Oh.
He was the coroner on CSI. And then you get like the dramatic reveal where he doesn't have legs. He's like, I gave the core all I have, whatever. And yeah, this guy comes out from behind this desk where he's in like processing. And well, yeah, he's got like a unicycle.
So yeah, Pelham is he is taking a couple a convict and a malfunctioning robot into the jail for processing. And the guards give him a hard time about his last name because apparently there was some drama in the recent past involving his father.
Right.
And he is real sensitive about this and threatens the guards, and they just let him on in, where he meets Oberon.
And these guards are voiced by John Stephen Rocha, who we'll remember from Robots in Disguise, as the voice of everyone's favorite violently insane frogman, Springload.
Yes!
Oh! Little hoppy boy.
Sadly, they are not recurring guards.
Okay.
Oh.
So he was totally a traitor and betrayed the science, the High Council to the nefarious Baron Karza. But Oberon's not buying it because he served with him in the war, and he's like, he'd never do that.
It's not really so much the war as just, like, there's regular low-level conflicts going on with, like, different alien groups and stuff.
And my fantastic powers of prognostication are telling me that this is a plot point that is going to be returned to throughout this series.
Yeah, it becomes a whole thing. I will say also, when we do finally see his father in flashbacks, he is voiced by Nolan North, who also played Raphael in a different Ninja Turtles show.
Oh.
So we have two Ninja Turtles so far.
If they'd introduced his grandfather, he should have been Rob Paulsen.
Yeah, I agree.
Or Robbie Wrist.
Yes.
Or that guy who plays Reacher, who was, I think, Raphael in those Michael Bay movies.
Oh, I sort of halfway saw those in the background while I was doing other things one time, because they were on Pluto.
And first one's bad, second one is also bad, but it's also like somebody spent $200 million to make an episode of the 80s cartoon.
That's what I've heard, is that the second one is bad, but at least it's funny. At least it's silly.
You got Brad Garrett doing a Krang voice.
Oh yeah, the second one's at least entertaining.
Yeah, it's real dumb.
And you got Bebop and Rocksteady.
Bebop and Rocksteady are they're by far and away the best part of it.
Yes.
Also really good casting. It's, I forget. Bebop is the guy that played Uncle Ruckus on Boondocks.
Gary Anthony Williams.
And
he was also that crazy lizard guy on Robots in Disguise.
Oh.
I forgot about that.
Crazy Bolt.
Oh, he was crazy. I forgot about that.
Yeah,
and Rocksteady is an actual wrestler, whose name I forget now.
Is it Sheamus?
Yes, I think.
He's like a really pale Irish guy.
Yeah.
But yes, they are a hoot.
Yeah.
Anyway, so he is... they're being dropped off here, but unfortunately, this busted robot is in fact two robots, and they're both super evil.
Yay!
This is Betatron and Gamatron. And Betatron is just like bleeping and blooping.
Mm-hmm.
But Gamatron is veteran voice actress Susan Silo.
Yes! Hmm. So I originally just assumed, because Susan Silo has played like hench guys with this voice. But no, Gamatron is actually female.
Okay, I wasn't sure, because I don't know if they were using any pronouns.
It's not until, like, the second season that there are pronouns used, and I was like, wait, what?
Yeah, no, they're just called Gamatron and Betatron.
I mean, I guess you could assume because she's got a female voice actor, but like I said, like, Susan Silo notably did Dr. Carbuncle and Biker Mice from Mars using basically the same voice, and that was a guy. But no, Gamatron is a she.
Yes, and she's just like a weird, just a weird robot person.
But also, speaking of Inhumanoids, Susan Silo. Mm-hmm. She was in Inhumanoids.
That's right. She was the girl.
Yes, Sandra Shore.
So they're here on behalf of their boss, Baron Karza, who takes the stage here. He is. Back in the comics and the original toy line, he was very much the Darth Vader we have on Homeworld. Here, he's a little more Dr. Doom, and he's also a lot more Clancy Brown.
Yes.
Yeah,
we don't see it in these episodes, but he is, under the mask, just like a scarred-up guy. He's just like a science theater kid. He is very... I love the music when he shows up here, though, because... You know this guy is a problem because the music gets real dark.
Oh, yeah, because character designs that are different from the original comics, like Arco Year, that's how I'm going to pronounce it, basically looks the same, but he's like blue where he was originally more red.
Right.
Biotron looks kind of like an iPod redesign of the original.
Yeah, a little. There's a little bit of the Eve from WALL-E in there.
Yeah, I can see that, especially in the eyes.
It's a different design, but it's got a similar vibe. Baron Karza in the original was like a black Jeeg, so he was a 70s super robot painted black, so looked kind of like Darth Vader. But now he's a red Dr. Doom with bolts in his eyebrows.
I mean, he does have the hood and the cape and everything. Yeah. Apparently, the cape came with the position of Baron of the Science Guild. But yeah, he's got a mask on. It will eventually be revealed, just all scarred up underneath it. Mm-hmm. But yeah, he's very Doctor Doom vibes, but very Clancy Brown.
Oh yeah.
Weirdly, the second time that Clancy Brown's played like a weird scarred up guy who's a bad guy on a Hasbro show.
Because
as you recall, he was also Silas.
Silas.
Oh, yeah.
Transformers Prime.
Silas, the whole plot line with Silas is like the one takeaway that my millennial coworker has kept with him from Transformers Prime. Because occasionally he'll be like, that was a really good plot line. I'm like, yeah.
I mean, that was a super messed up plot line. I can see if
very messed up. It was great.
Stuck with that.
It was super memorable. It's like, that's... If you're not, like, super into things, but you're watching that, that's the thing that you're going to remember.
Mm-hmm. So they're here for... They've stolen the staff of the Time Traveler, and now they're trying to find the Time Traveler. Cut to the prison. We've got Zant hanging out. He's like a weird alien. He's got the Dr. Bad Vibes brain dome.
He's got four arms.
Yeah, he's...
Four arms.
He's playing with tarot cards while sitting in his jail cell, because he's in jail, yet he says he's a diplomat.
Which makes you think that this High Council is maybe not super benevolent.
Yeah, like, if he actually is a diplomat, which Jen says he will turn out to be, it's like, ooh, I'm not so sure this government is good.
Unless he's like those crooked like South Africans from Lethal Weapon 2. And he's just like committing crimes, and then he's all diplomatic immunity.
That would be a funny running gag if he keeps saying that. But that doesn't happen in these two episodes.
So and his only companion here is this woman he's talking to via the vents, voiced by Kari Wahlgren, who is vaguely British in this.
Yes.
And she is the time traveler, who is like a classic Micronauts character.
And she is in a lot of things.
Yes.
So, yeah, it's so much anime.
In this setting, the time travelers seem to be just another alien race that they're aligned with. Okay. So this is just, really? It's not like the only time traveler, but...
Okay. That kind of makes her weirder?
Well, she really reminds me of that that one character from that Green Lantern show.
Yeah, she does kind of have Ava. No, that wasn't it. I know who you mean, though.
Yes.
But like a much taller, skinnier one. But yes, this is Quintilis, the time traveler, but she is also like a time traveler because there are a couple others who show up later.
You wonder if maybe given the world building Hasbro was doing at the time, she would be connected to like Quintus Prime and or the Quintessons?
Maybe, because she is green.
Yeah.
Interesting.
I thought she'd be connected to Quint, and she just, like her dad was like a shark hunter. Anyway, we delivered the bomb. So, Karza is really in here to take her, like, portal-making power. So he goes in, and he has, like, mind control powers via his, was it Micronium?
Dark Micronium.
Yeah, he has little red wires that come out of his hand.
Yeah.
And plug into somebody.
And then it lets him, like, mind control people.
Yeah.
And so he zaps her.
I have a question.
If
his henchmen are Beta and Gamma, is he an Alpha?
No, someone else is Alphatron.
Oh, okay.
I will just leave that there. I will just set that there and step away, but there is an Alphatron.
Okay. So they open this portal, and then our sort of ragtag band, like, convicts slash prisoners slash our two, you know, sort of heroic guys, plus this robot that is suddenly not broken, mysteriously.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, the robot just kind of wakes up and follows them.
Yeah, the robot was basically in, like, the evidence lockup. Mm. And it, like, activates and decides to follow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so they run and jump and trip through the portal. In, like, it takes them minutes to debate, like, should we go? Yeah, we should probably go. So long so that Pelham, the last one to go through... He goes through only when, like, the other guards in the prison show up. It's like, hey, this guy was helping Baron Karza escape. It's like, ah, shit.
I like that Zant just tripped backwards into the portal.
And I can't tell if he did that on purpose.
And it's like, did that convict just trip escape?
So we are now back where we this is where we came in. We're in this mysterious dimension, and it turns out it is some kid's garage.
Dun dun dun! A giant kid.
Yes, a giant kid with the voice of Dante Basco, and God bless this guy's immortal vocal cords.
Yeah,
because this guy's now 50 years old.
And he absolutely sounds like he is like 2 days into puberty.
Yeah, it's really
weird.
Yeah,
he was somebody on Avatar. He was like Zuko on Avatar.
Zuko,
yes.
Everybody loves Zuko.
And of course, in live action, he was Rufio in Hook.
Uh-huh.
Yes, which is how I wrote him down in the notes, because I didn't realize who it was at first. Because, like, why does this character sound so goddamn young? What are they doing to their vocal cords? And then I slowly realized, that's fucking Rufio! He's doing, like, as Zuko, he sounds younger than he actually is. He sounds like a teen. But he doesn't sound this small and high-pitched. I don't know what he's doing to his voice.
Yeah, he is drinking the good tea.
Yeah. Mm. And this is Cameron Ruck, if you're wondering if anybody watched Ferris Bueller recently.
I would like to point out that, as we will discover, he is, in fact, Cameron Ruck from Hughes Valley.
Yes.
Oh, crap!
Yep.
I did. Oh, Jesus Christ.
So how much did it be fought to have him in, like, a fake Red Wings jersey?
I got that reference, like, immediately, and I was like, oh my god, this is the best.
Because I forget that character, I forgot Cameron's name.
Yeah.
So I didn't put it together, that Hughes Valley, sure.
Cameron Fry, played by Alan Ruck.
Yeah.
I knew that Rob would get it.
I mean, I'm a noted Alan Ruck enthusiast. I also like Spin City and that one Star Trek movie he's in where he kind of gets Captain Kirk killed.
Yeah, briefly at the start. It's a Generations.
Generations, yeah.
Yeah.
And then he's on that Succession show now too. You cannot stop the Ruck.
Oh hey. Oh.
I don't think I've ever seen Spin City.
Oh yeah, he was like the loathsome crew-cutted horn dog on that show.
Ha. Huh.
Yeah, totally serviceable, like mid-90s sitcom, like a level below your Frasiers and your Seinfelds, but totally, you know, on the Just Shoot Me and I don't know, Carolyn in the City.
Yeah.
Carolina City and or was it one with Brooke Shields? Suddenly Susan.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I saw a lot of these like when they were
TGIF
when they were out.
Well no, TGIF, that's like on a different cornier level.
Yeah, that's more of a like young appeal.
Yeah, those were like more kids shows. Nobody was like building a robot on Carolina in the City.
Yeah. Hmm.
Anyway, so they're trying to make their escape. This kid sees them, freaks out, runs away, closes the garage door. Luckily, this garage door is even slower than Rose McGowan's garage door in the movie Scream.
To be fair, garage doors can be very slow sometimes.
This is true.
Yeah, mine's not exactly that fast.
So, although,
this one clearly doesn't have a good sensor.
No.
Because three bowling balls roll down, and it only stops when it hits one of them. It doesn't have a working sensor.
No, that...
That's unsafe.
Like, like Mr. and Mrs. Ruck, if that was your kid's head, it would have been crushed. Like a cantaloupe.
Yeah.
Because they see that the Baron Karza and his robot pals are escaping this garage.
As a side note, we do eventually learn Cameron's middle name, and I will also leave that to be revealed by watching this show.
Is it Sloan?
No.
Ferris?
Bueller?
Close.
Oh, God. Anyway. And a thing that I like here that is kind of stupid is that they're always doing, like, fake space swears.
Yes.
Oh yeah.
Like so much fake space swearing. It's great.
Oh well, I'll be
Sklurp.
Well, I'll be blorfed.
Well, it's mostly Oberon doing.
It's a lot of Sklurp, but yeah, I mean he's an older guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's an adult. It does kind of drive home that these characters are adults getting involved with this kid.
Mm. I don't. Fake swears always kind of bother me. If you're going to have them, pick one and stick to it.
I don't know. We've got a lot of different swear words on Earth.
I know, but like...
Or in English.
The problem is when you're making up swear words, 9 times out of 10, they're shit. Like, frail is about one of the only ones I don't hate. Or frack.
Frack?
Yeah.
Or shock in 2099.
Yes.
Oh, what's that one from, like, Ringworld or something? Tangent or something? Some stupid abbreviation.
There's a good bit of fake space swearing in this.
I just think there's too much. Too much variety in the space swearing. It's
too much slurping fake swearing.
Yeah, because we have Transformers. Well, we used to have some, but we had to get rid of it.
Yeah, I guess we're just using scrap now.
Yeah, scrap is okay. Because that's an actual word. It works.
Yeah.
or Scrud. Scrud is okay.
Anyway. So,
Toolbox.
Yeah, so they end up in this toolbox, and it's getting lasered by Betatron and Gamatron.
They are straight up gonna do a murder, so these are some exceptionally naughty robots.
They're just, like, melting the metal of this toolbox, and it's gonna barbecue these guys. Until
but they're stuck in it like they're stuck in the trash compactor from Star Wars, only it's melting on them.
Mm-hmm.
And a giant screwdriver is trying to bear down on them while glowing.
But luckily the big robot is able to get them out of this gym.
Which surprises everyone that it takes this initiative on its own, but they aren't complaining.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, your robot can do that? What do you mean, my robot? Isn't he a robot?
So meanwhile,
he is a robot. Yes.
Well, his last name ends in Tron. Got to be a robot.
Yeah.
Them's the rules.
It's true.
Although in the original Marvel Micronauts comic, they call them Roboids.
That's silly.
Yeah, it's not great.
Okay, and so meanwhile, Cameron is being mind controlled by Karza into making a somewhat unconvincing phone call to his parents.
Okay, I have questions about this cell phone. Once we find out he made it himself, How does it work then?
I mean, maybe it's one of those like kit ones.
Did he hack a SIM card?
Probably.
I mean,
he says that he took some parts from his mom's.
Yeah.
From his mom's toaster. Like, he doesn't take it from an old cell phone.
This is a character thing with him, is that he does do a lot of, like, maker stuff.
He does machines.
Yeah, he does machines. Which is useful. But yes, he calls to leave his mother a voicemail about these aliens that have shown up. And as soon as it starts, Karza controls him. It's like, I am safe and doing normal human things, which are also safe. Goodbye. It is not convincing.
Your foster parents are dead. Should have asked him how Wolfie was doing.
But actually, I will go ahead and put out there that Cameron actually just lives with just his mother. So we are also to a somewhat RID 2015 situation of having a single parent.
Well, you're only allowed one.
It's true.
And also Transformers Prime, single parent. Transformers Animated, single parent.
Yeah.
Transformers Generation 1, a parent, single parent.
It's important.
Rescue Bots, single parent.
Oh my God.
It's an important part of this kind of thing. You can only have the one. If you have two parents, it's too complicated.
Yeah.
And listen, Daniel probably only has two parents because they didn't have the guts to, like, kill Carly off screen.
Hmm. Yeah.
Wow, wait, is the Bay movies the only ones where the main character has two parents?
Oh, yeah, because even in that Bumblebee movie, one parent.
Yeah. I mean, there's got to be one of the anime has multiple parents, I would think.
I don't know. I think a lot of those anime, those kids are just, like, straight-up orphans.
Yeah.
I mean, in R.I.D., yes, because he has, like, one...
R.I.D., one parent? Father. I think maybe some of the kids in, like, Cybertron have two parents.
Maybe. If anyone can remember the kids from Cybertron.
Vaguely remember them. I don't remember ever seeing parents.
I think we definitely see one parent, because one guy really looks like Woody Allen for some reason.
That's awkward.
But yeah, his mother in Energon? I vaguely recall that his mother might be alive.
Maybe?
I think so.
Which is weird, because he definitely seems like a character who would have a dead mom and a dad who's telling him to get in the robot.
Yeah,
that's true.
Oh, I just actually looked at the credits. Well, I glanced at the credits before.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I didn't realize how Fenelope's name was spelled before.
Yes.
Yeah, wasn't that a diet pill that got banned after it killed a bunch of people in the 90s?
apparently the name Fenelope actually, like, was part of Hasbro's, like, initial this is Hasbro Micronauts thing, even before this cartoon.
That's strange.
In their early movie notes and stuff.
For one, I thought her name was Fenelope. Like, I thought it was just that the beginning was changed to an F. But, wow, that's a weird spelling. It's impressive.
It's a good name.
Well, you know, they're from space, you see.
Yeah.
Yes, they're from space. So it is, for the record, it is Phenolo-Phi.
Yes. So there's some giant we're getting into some giant stuff shenanigans here, a la Honey I Shrunk the Kids.
Yeah, there's a lot of giant stuff shenanigans in this show.
In fact, this is directly from the cartoon animated the cartoon opening credits of Honey I Shrunk the Kids, where he's almost killed by this fan.
Yes.
Oh yeah, where he almost gets his head chopped off by a plastic fan.
Yes. Well, I mean, you know, thing's...
I guess his head is very tiny. It might hurt.
Yeah, his head is very tiny. That thing's going to Vic Morrow him.
Yeah, it's table fan. He's just a little guy.
Have you ever stuck your finger in one of those things? It will stop. Admittedly, your finger is attached to a lot of bones.
Yeah,
hey,
exactly.
Right?
So it would probably just... Yeah, I think it would just crack his neck, not decapitate it.
Back in the old days, they didn't.
Well, yes, the old metal things.
Yes, my dad has some of those.
But anything made in the last 30 years.
I mean, this does seem like a garage where there's a bunch of old stuff.
Yeah. So they try to interchange.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes, they try to use their Evo Fusion.
Which, I have said that this really feels like there have to be toy line notes out there at Hasbro somewhere. Like, there are play patterns here.
Yeah, this is a interchange, and this is 100% a toy gimmick. And it's crazy that there were no toys.
Yeah, it's extremely, like, they have accessories, and you can combine the accessories different ways, probably using either 3 or 5 millimeter posts.
Yeah, probably.
And yeah,
three.
It's very, like, whatchamacallit, the Transformers now, that weaponizers.
Yes.
It's very weaponizers.
Yeah. Well, like I said, Evo Fusion was the thing that was like after the weaponizers, where it's like, oh, whatever on the package, oh, these guns combine and things. And,
yes.
Oh, what was the one that had the 3 millimeter clips?
Was that
part of Revealed the Shield?
I think so.
I think so, because I know Jazz had the speakers that had the clips.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's like there's play patterns involved here. Like, this wasn't gonna be a toy line.
And I will say that from these designs, I think this toy line would have been really cool.
I would have liked it. I want a big chunky Biotron.
Yeah.
Yes.
I want a Zant with a little light up brain.
Oh, yeah, because when Cam picks Zant up and the weird in-between commercial break things, like, he taps his head and his brain changes color.
Mm-hmm. It is, I think, notable as far as the production of the show goes that there are obvious commercial break points.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this was made to air on something.
Oh, yeah.
And, like, this should have been on the hub if the hub had still existed by 2019.
Mm-hmm.
It's like it exists in a parallel world where the hub continued to exist. But alas, it was not to be.
So this is about where Karza sees Pelham unmasked and is shocked because He does indicate here that his dad really was a traitor.
Dun, dun, dun!
But he flies off with his robot buddies and the time traveler. And that's So they discover that they're on this strange, bizarre planet of the giants. And but then suddenly, here's that giant kid again. End of episode.
Yeah, like I said, the first two episodes are very much a two-parter, even if they're
this is very much a two-part.
Even if they're not named as such.
No, this would have aired in like a single night, possibly in like a special time slot.
Mm-hmm.
Baron Karza has a goblin glider.
He does have a goblin. That would 100% be a toy accessory he had.
Yes.
And the end of the episode almost goes into somewhere out there beneath the micro sky. Like, they say somewhere out there, and I felt like they were going to break into song. And that may just be me remembering that song.
Clancy Brown, somehow a guy who's never played the Green Goblin. It seems like he would have.
Yeah, I could see that.
Wait, has he been a Spider-Man villain?
He's definitely been. Well, he was Taskmaster on that Ultimate Spider-Man cartoon.
Oh right,
right.
That we unfortunately watched.
Try to forget about.
Yeah, I forgot who was the Taskmaster because there were so many other bad things. I forgot the one good thing about the episode.
Yeah,
I just remember the one thing that made me extremely, incredibly angry.
The fact that they invented the word unalive.
Yes.
Well, can't prove they invented it. They definitely popularized the fucking thing, and that's annoying. That's the worst part.
It's definitely where it came from.
Yeah.
Because, like, the age stuff lines up. The chronology lines up.
Oh, yeah, and he was the Rhino on Spectacular Spider-Man.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, it's like Clancy Brown is very much like a guy who should be Spider-Man villains, or guys who fight Spider-Man, or encounter a brown recluse or something.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, I never finished Venture Brothers. Anyway, that's neither here nor there. Micronauts!
Which Clancy Brown was also on.
Yes, I know. That's the brown recluse joke I made.
He's in so much.
All right, so that is it for this episode, and that is it for us for this week. We will be back next week with the second exciting part of this Micronauts two-parter. Of course, until then, you can find us all over the internet. We are on Mastodon.
It's really just
Facebook.
Blue Sky and Mastodon at this point.
And yeah, we're on Blue Sky. Yeah.
Yeah. And, and we have a webpage.
Yeah, and we have a Patreon.
IconUnderground.net, it's.com. Wait, what is it?
No. IconUnderground.net, where we have our the news pod David and I do occasionally every few weeks.
Yeah, we try to do it
twice a month.
Fortnightly, roughly.
Yeah, I gotta wait for the news pile to fill up.
Yeah, you gotta wait for the news pile to fill up.
We just did one, but I think we're gonna have to do another one
because now
there's more news.
Comic stuff.
Yeah.
But yes, we have a Patreon set up to help with hosting and other expenses at patreon.com/IconUnderground. Did you know that back in the day, there was an anime movie that was based on the Marvel Dracula comic? Well, I did not know that until Rob told me.
And now we're all going to watch it.
We are all going to watch it for Halloween. It's spooky season. And yeah, that's...
Rob, have you seen it before?
I have seen it before, yes.
Okay, I think I've seen it. I'm not sure I've seen the whole thing. I think I might have seen it like at a Halloween party or something.
Have you ever seen that gif of Dracula eating a hamburger? That's what it's from.
Yeah.
So yes, we are going to be watching that for our October Halloween Patreon special. I don't know what I'm expecting because that's just such a strange concept, but I am prepared.
Unless Rob can find it, I'll have to try and dig up old anime news blogs that covered it.
Yeah, it's
to figure out the history of how this happened.
Why this happened.
Yeah.
I actually do think I've got some articles about that.
Okay.
Because they also did Marvel's Frankenstein, which is not as interesting because it's pretty much just Frankenstein. Well, what would have been
Yeah. Werewolf by Night.
Ooh, yes. Yes, they should. I think the plan was they were supposed to do those three and more, but like they stopped after Frankenstein.
They were like, actually, that's enough.
I know at some point there was interest in doing like a maybe like a live action Moon Knight like tokusatsu series.
Yes, well, there was interest in doing a lot of things, but we only ever got Spider-Man and the two of the Sentai series are technically under the Marvel license for weird reasons.
Battle Fever J, I want to say.
Yeah, the not the first two, the second two Sentai series.
Right.
Wow. They were up to a lot more than I realized, and that's pretty wild because I considered myself knowing quite a bit, but
yes.
Even now, in the year 2025, I am learning new things about what Marvel has done, what they have committed in their name.
I think it was that, like, Stan Lee had, like, seen something about, like, the first Sentai series and, like, wanted to do something with Toei about that. That ended up making Spider-Man, which never came over.
No.
And then the contract was for two more shows, which originally might have been Moon Knight, but ended up just going into funding the two Sentai series. And then it just lapsed before anything actually ever came over.
Mm. All right, so we will be back next week with more Micronauts action. Until then, I'm Bear Rob Karza.
I'm Jen, and his full name is Cameron Broderick Ruck.
And I'm David Worm Guy.